Welcome to Whispers on AM 1600 WKKX, the Valley's Watchdog. It is 7:38 p.m., around 73 degrees here. Sorry, Lola. We're on a little bit earlier tonight.
Lola's gone loopy on us already.
I know.
I think it's the new hair dye.
My gosh, am I going to get
okay,
you for
we're
that?
We're going to go ahead and take a break while Lola breaks his arms. We'll back with you in a little
bit.
I mean, it's your natural color bleeding.
Keep it up. You're just digging deeper and deeper there. Oh, honestly.
Man. But she got a cut, too. It looks good.
Yes, I did. Thank you.
Looks good.
It's perky.
It's
perky.
That's right. Insult her and then go ahead and just comment her.
Gosh. The number here.
Yeah.
If you
want
to
call
in, 304-214-1600. Toll free, 1-866-514-1600. Nick, you had actually the Marquee Cinema.
I was wondering, you said you needed the list of what movies are going to be playing at Marquee Cinema. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes.
They have a website. I don't know if this is the correct list, but off of their website, they have what's going to be playing on, it says Friday.
Oh, see, Friday. Tomorrow is just invitation, and like John said, they're going to be movies that came out like a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
But good movies like Hancock and things like that.
The
old movies.
I can't wait until the old movies get there. Can you imagine? I can't wait to see things like Young Frankenstein and Blazing Saddles and things like that on a big screen.
Are they
going to
be doing that?
They're talking about doing older movies. Now, I don't know how old they think is old.
Somebody was talking about Star Wars earlier. I'd like to see the Star Wars movies on the big screen.
Oh, my.
You've never seen them on? They came.
I'm not talking about the new ones, Nick.
No, when they came out,
they
re-released them, and they played down in North Carolina, and I got to see all three of them right in a row, actually with Barry, you know, your brother, my cousin, who fell asleep, I think, during the second one.
Thank you for clarifying.
Yes, well, just so we know.
He fell asleep?
He was younger. He still kicks himself. He even mentioned it to me out of the blue, like, a couple weeks ago. He mentioned, he's like, I cannot believe I fell asleep during... when I went with you, but he was maybe around 10 or 11 years old when I took him to that.
Okay.
All three in a row, it was awesome.
I fell asleep during Hitman. It wasn't as good as I thought it'd be.
I fell asleep actually during Scream during a midnight showing, so yeah. But hey, you know, if you can fall asleep in a cinema, you can fall asleep anywhere. Especially
I'm trying to
if
think if I
Scream.
Ever have. I don't think I ever have.
I
can tell a story on John. And he's probably walking to his vehicle, so he won't hear this. We went to see, was it Lord of the Rings? I think it was one of the Hobbit movies. And all of a sudden, I hear. And I'm going,
oh my God, those movies were great. How could you sleep?
And then there was another one I dragged him to. It was part of the Firefly series. And
I loved Firefly.
I did too. And so I drag him to this movie, and of course he doesn't know who any of the characters are because he hadn't seen the series. Yeah, he kind of fell asleep in that one too.
No, I never heard of it either. I probably would have been with him sleeping.
You've never been with Firefly? Wow.
What channel was Firefly on?
It was
Sci-Fi?
On Fox, I think. It was on Fox. I thought they were going to be re-releasing it, actually.
It was just on, I don't know, about 6 months ago. Somebody re-ran it again, and I think maybe it was Sci-Fi.
I've got them at my house, Jordan. You're coming over.
Another marathon.
You're going to watch the marathon.
It's a mix of cowboy, like Old Wild West, and Star Wars. It is awesome. It's
great.
Awesome.
That's pretty sweet. Have you seen the new, was it Sci-Fi had the miniseries, Tin Man? It was the Wizard of Oz.
Everybody raved. I read all these reviews on it, and I thought, okay, this is good. So I think I recorded two of the episodes, and I don't know. Maybe it was just my frame of mind, but I just couldn't get into it. I couldn't get into it.
See, that what I wanted to watch, and you actually brought it over, and I didn't get a chance to.
Did you like it?
I liked it. The acting was pretty cheesy, miniseries acting, but... It was good.
Well, I'm a big and that's called steampunk. You know, they throw the word around. I love steampunk. If you look online, and I don't know where it is, and I'll find
what does that mean?
Steampunk. Steampunk's kind of a mix of like.
Nick's a nerd.
Yes, I'm a nerd. I might be one of the few people that knew what LARPing was. That I think Teddy
what?
LARPing. He mentioned they were LARPing over at the cinema. I'm probably one of the only people listening. Maybe
and what is that? Can you say
live,
it on
live
the
action? Because
if Teddy brought it up, you may not be able to give the actual definition.
Everybody on the FCC, please turn off your radios.
and I'm sure they're obeying you as
yes,
we speak.
They are. I have command over the government.
This is getting paranormal, isn't it?
But no, it's called live action role playing. So, if you think of Dungeons and Dragons, then you add people wearing costumes, getting kicked out of Denny's because they're wearing their costumes and are still in character. And that's pretty much what you have. They get out in the woods, and
I think I saw a video of that on YouTube. This like little fat kid running around throwing Nerf balls at people, saying lightning bolt, like
that is exactly what it is.
My gosh, that's kind of like furries.
Oh my God.
Have you heard about furries?
You've never heard about furries? Oh, you're going to enjoy this.
These people dress up as stuffed animals.
Yes. They dress up like foxes
and little
or
bunnies.
Whatever their favorite.
Yeah, and then other things occur after they become excited at being a bunny.
Oh, God.
There was an episode in Entourage with furries. And then there was also a CSI where these people get murdered or something in there in like little rabbit and fox costumes.
Oh, jeez.
You'll have to look it up online. I wouldn't recommend it.
I don't know
though.
If I want to look it up online.
That is the sickest thing I've ever heard of.
Tell you what, I do have a giant chicken suit. But that thought has never crossed my mind. I don't think it will.
I don't think any girl would think of it either.
Wow.
Oh, man.
What have I gotten myself mixed up with? Giant chickens.
You brought it up. Actually, the Wheeling Christmas Parade, the Spiro Academy float with the band playing the Christmas songs.
Uh-huh.
I was the chicken up on front of it dancing around.
That's something my dear usually don't admit to. Why there are heads on these.
I want to make a point first.
Nick did that.
No. This wasn't me, but I want to make this point first before we move on.
Okay.
He didn't buy the chicken suit for the... he had the chicken suit before.
And
he's like, hey... I know what goes good with Christmas songs and a chicken dancing on the front of the float.
That's so Christmassy. The chicken dinner?
John, the stretch of all stretches.
There was chicken.
It's a goose. Roast
Jesus,
a goose.
Jesus was born in a manger, and at the manger were chickens that danced.
Exactly.
That was the rationale. Okay, Jordan. We're following you.
It fit together nicely. Okay. It fit together nicely. Okay. Jesus loves chickens, too.
I know he does. And we love chickens, too, Jordan, just so you know.
Man.
You just set the tone for all the calls that we're going to get tonight, being like, hey, I would like to talk to Chicken Man.
That backfired.
Yes, it did.
You can't really call it, you know, I don't think you could actually necessarily call it furry because because a chicken has feathers.
Right. There was I'm
feathery.
Yeah. So he's a feathery. It's a whole new line.
Oh, man.
Somewhere out there, peacocks waiting for you.
I have a feeling this is going to be hitting me the rest of the night. I should have kept my mouth shut.
Yes. You should have. Okay, now.
Would you like for us to change the subject?
Yes!
We wanted to start talking about exorcisms, and you brought up the chicken, so, you know.
Yeah, this is kind of a hard segue.
This is going to be a very hard.
Speaking of chickens, have you ever heard of exorcists?
Actually, we want to go ahead and talk about exorcisms to try to get the chicken out of Jordan.
There we go.
So, that's a segue. We could use that.
Yeah. Okay.
But, I mean, of course, you know, we've all watched The Exorcist, I'm sure, at least most of us. Have you ever seen The Exorcist?
Oh, yes.
Or The Exorcism of Emily Rose.
Yes.
Which,
all those.
Which would be a very good segue. Now we can go off of that because Jordan was searching around YouTube today because I had mentioned to him I would like to talk about exorcism on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And he came across what is purported, and I don't want to...
Supposedly.
Supposedly is the actual tape of The Exorcism of Emily Rose. So now the first one I had found was the Russian one, but we'll go with that one first.
The Russian
her name, I guess, in the real story was Annalise Michael or Mitchell,
probably
something like that.
Mikhail, probably.
It's German, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. So, which do you want, the German or the Russian?
We'll go with the. I think it says Annalise.
Yeah.
So we'll go with that one. But first, if you want to set it up, Jordan. So.
Okay. If you haven't seen the movie, it's this girl, 16 to 23 years old. How do you say it? I guess she was possessed. Mm-hmm. The psychiatrist, doctors, court case happened, you know, all this kind of stuff, and they said she was just psychotic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the church was trying to do an exorcism on him. I guess it got very violent. The girl ended up dying. Bruises everywhere. If you go on YouTube, we can actually, tonight maybe, Nick can put it online.
I'm actually working on that right now while you're
Nick
talking.
Nick is putting it online right now as we speak. You can watch it on our website, whispersradio.com. And it shows pictures of the actual girl, the bruises, all that kind of good stuff.
And after we play it, you know, we'd love for you to call in and help us, because I could see it maybe being real, and you'll hear it. And before we even play it, especially to you, Lola, it is disturbing, so if you want to...
Real or fake, it's scary sounding.
Yeah, so, I mean, okay. They can do stuff, so...
All right, well, here, let's give it a try. Whoa. What was that?
That was Jordan.
All right, now it's What we're listening to, folks, is a German exorcism, in case you're just tuning in.
I think that might be it.
What that actually was not...
That's Jordan in his chicken suit, but we won't go into that.
Dancing around the living room. Call us, tell us what you think, 304-214-1600, toll-free 866-514-1600.
Part of the reason that this is kind of difficult is because everybody in it's speaking German.
Yeah, you don't know what they're saying.
When she was yelling nine, that's no.
Yeah.
That's the only word I could pick out. But
you know German?
Just a little bit.
Nine.
Yeah.
No, I don't know German, but I mean it's
hot dog.
What's hot dog?
Is that German?
Save me.
I think
Wiener Schnitzel.
There you go. I think that's what you're wanting there. But, I mean, you know, talking about exorcism, of course, you're talking about, number one, you know, usually a priest that's doing it. And number two, I think with her case, if I remember the movie correctly, I mean, she was talking not only in German, she was also talking in Latin.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe hear a little bit of that in there, but... It's hard to make out.
Yeah.
But
just because you don't know different foreign languages, you have no clue what they're talking about.
So, I mean, I don't know. She'd be cussing us out.
Lola.
Oh, I'm sure she was. I'm sure there was a lot of, you know, not, I'm sure.
Well, so what do you think, Lola? Is that real?
You know, you have to believe that the devil can actually possess people. And I suppose if we believe in ghosts and spirits and things like that, then the logical progression is, of course, that you do believe that if spirits are good, then there have to be evil spirits, too.
If there's spirits, there's an afterlife. If there's an afterlife, there's somebody ruling it somewhere.
Yeah, there has to be a God, depending on, you know, and that could be your own interpretation. But, you know, for you to, that whole natural progression. But can people actually be possessed? I don't know. And you know, if you have... That's really a hard call. You have psychiatrists that I'm sure would swear that she was just, you know, having like a schizophrenic psychotic break.
I think if I remember correctly, it was like epilepsy with like schizophrenia and like extreme psychotic episode is what they said.
Which the cool thing about this one is, not saying cool at all.
Yeah.
But is that this one actually went to trial, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, well, if you look on the website, go to our website, whispersradio.com, check out the video on YouTube. We have the audio going, and it's got all these pictures of this little girl, and she's beat up. I mean, through the whole thing, she's got bruises all over.
The video starts out, I mean, she's a really pretty girl. I mean, you know,
Easy, Nick, you're married.
Well, she's been dead since 1976, before my wife was even born. So, but she was pretty. I mean, I can honestly say that.
Yeah,
I'm married, right?
She's in the Bahamas. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, my wife went to go to the Bahamas.
Oh, nice.
And I'm here talking to Jordan about his chicken suit.
Uh-huh. Wow. See how that happens? Your head's
Nick,
at.
Nick wins. Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, she went, and I think they, they brought up their parents and the priest on, or was it just the priest, on charges.
I think it was both priests
probably the
and
parents
her parents
too.
For yeah. neglect.
Yeah. Yeah, that's...
And it says here, I'm looking on Wikipedia, the source for everything true.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, the accused were found guilty of manslaughter while resulting from negligence and were sentenced to a 6-month suspended sentence and 3 years probation.
Well, we've had instances of that in this country. And it's not necessarily... I think when people think of exorcism, they think of, you know, the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
But there have been a lot of instances where ministers or pastors have tried to remove evil spirits from people, and kids have died as a result.
Now, I've seen, like, deliverance ministries and stuff like that. I mean, I'm a Christian, you know. I'll admit it on the radio. You know, I believe in, like, the Lakeland revival that's going on right now, all the healings going on. You know, my dad's been there. My whole church has been there, actually. But, you know, there's the deliverance ministries, which is actually like a exorcism ministry, I want to say. Mm-hmm. But, like, exorcism in itself is more like, it's like a ritual with the Catholic Church.
Yeah, you know, it is an actual ritual.
If you're Catholic and if you're a Catholic priest listening, mm-hmm. you can call in and let us know exactly what it is. But it's more ritualistic, I think, mm-hmm. with, like, the Pentecostal, the more Protestant churches, it's like... prayer.
Well, there's a book.
It's a lot different.
There's a book. There's a gentleman, he's dead now, named Malachi Martin, and he's been on Coast to Coast of Art Bell many times talking about exorcism, and he has a book out called Hostage to the Devil, and in the end of that actually has the rites of exorcism that he has placed, you know, in the book, you know, mm-hmm. what you say, and if you watch...
Ooh, that's dangerous.
It is dangerous. I was thinking about that. I was like, you know... If you know, I'm interested. I'm glad, you know, to see it. But then again, I'm thinking, well, somebody's going to be, you know, walking down like, oh, my neighbor's, you know, he's possessed by a demon because he plays that rock music all the time.
Yeah, yeah. And know, that's and then, the danger to all of that is falling in the hands of somebody that's not quite stable. And, you know, and they believe it wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. And they see evil and things like that everywhere they look. Yeah. And
he's smoking. He's the devil.
Yeah. Well, they, you know.
So. And I sometimes believe that. It depends if they're blowing into my face. So, I mean, but even we had Kristen Perkins on a couple weeks back, and she had said that she, if you remember the audio we played, were you here for that one? Or was
I
that,
think she missed that.
I think that was Kelly.
Okay. There was this EVP they recorded while they were in this room. And actually, if you want to go to our website also, if you missed it, if you were like Lola and weren't here, you'll see it under Kristen Perkins, and you'll find out which the episode she was on. We have the audio of it, and it does have a cuss word. It has the F word in it, which we did bleep for the air.
But it's not bleeped. It's not bleeped on the website.
It's not bleeped on the website. So, and I mean, it's just a really, you know, shut the F up in mm-hmm. this really angry voice and clear as a bell. And she said that when they recorded it around the same time, that she had felt like she was, something was trying to, I don't know what the best way to put it would be, but come into her, come on, mm-hmm. you know, come on
impress
her.
Impress
upon her at the time. And, you know, she had said that she was, you know, scared about it. And, you know, it would be a low, you know, like a low-level possession, but it, you know, didn't go all the way. So So, I mean, it, you know.
See, that kind of stuff scares me. Ghosts are one thing, you know, spirits, entities, things like that.
And we've talked to people before that said, oh, you know, I welcome them into me, and I'm thinking, I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, confused enough. I don't need anybody else in this
head. We would not recommend welcoming spirits into your body at all.
No.
Ever?
Maybe even alcohol to some degree. We, you know, no spirits like, you know.
No, I don't know about that.
I was never.
Well, we just lost Lola as a fan. Way to go, Nick.
She could have been gone to the chicken soup, but you didn't kick her all the way over.
I'm going to push it right on him.
Yeah.
Can we listen to that other one real quick?
Oh, okay.
It's up to you if you want to do it.
Is it too late, Lola?
No, I just... I had switched out because the top of the hour.
It's a couple of minutes, so we were wondering.
Okay. We can play part of it.
Okay, now
just play a little bit of it, and you can turn it off. And I can set up this story if you want.
Go ahead.
All right, this is the Russian exorcism.
And just really quickly, this is a exorcism that was recorded at a Russian Orthodox church. This was a 16-year-old girl. Of course, this is also in Russian. I was trying to find an English one that I really wanted to play, and I'm still searching for it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the best way I can set it up really fast.
Maybe we can get the guy that wrote that exorcism book to come on the air, and then we can find that
the
audio
hostage
for
to
it.
The devil?
Yeah.
I said he was dead.
Oh.
If we get him in the air, that's
that. You
coup.
Know I don't listen
that,
to you.
That's a coup for us.
All right.
We're going to take a break now.
All right.
Go ahead and give the phone numbers, Jordan.
All right. 304-214-1600, 866-514-1600. We'll be right back. AM 1600, WKKX, The Valley's Watchdog. Welcome back to Whispers, The Valley's own source for Paranormal Talk Radio here on AM 1600, WKKX, The Valley's Watchdog. It is 8:07, about 73 degrees here in downtown Wheeling. Jordan Klein here with Nick Queen and the lovely Lola Miller, who got a little freaked out with that second one.
I am not ashamed to admit it. I did. I ripped my headphones off when it started, and I use that term, keening, kind of, that... where it just started very low pitched and just grew.
Sounded like the Grudge kind of.
I got goosebumps all over us. That's it. I couldn't turn the bloody machine off, so I was like, okay, we're done. We're taking a break.
I'm not a fan of the Grudge.
All right, tell us what you think. Give us a call here, 304-214-1600, toll free, 866-514-1600. I want to give a special thank you to my grandmother. Yeah. Who is in from Myrtle Beach. Haven't seen her in a while. She's watching the show online.
Well, good. Hello. And I hope she listens when she goes back home.
Well, me too.
And listen to the broadcast at 10 o'clock.
And listen to the broadcast. Lola,
nothing
again.
Like a shameless plug. You know? And Steve Novotny Live with Steve and Lola. So it's like all day.
Lola, you own
all
this
Lola,
place.
All the time.
You are the WKKX superstar.
Oh, yeah.
They should have your face really big in the background, kind of big grin, thumbs up.
Maybe they'll post your face over the dog outside, so, and that way you can be a furry.
What are you trying to say?
He is really infatuated with these furries all of a sudden.
I tell you what, secretly, I think he is.
A
little lammy suit. A little lammy suit.
I could see Nick in a little lamb suit. Oh, jeez.
I would say bad, bad, but I just didn't
know too much. Oh, my. Well, I think we should probably let Mark in on these jokes.
All right. Nick, you want to introduce the guest?
Mark is, we had Sherry Burke-Rigo the other day. That she was number 9 on the Haunted America, the Haunted list.
The Haunted Tours.
The Haunted Tours list. And I'm all tongue-tied now after the...
All right, and Mark Nesbitt, he is number 1 on that list.
Yes, the top 10 best ghost tours in the nation by Haunted America Tours. He's the author of, and if you go to our website, whispersradio.com, you'll see a huge number of books there. A series called Ghost of Gettysburg, Haunted Pennsylvania, The Big Book of Pennsylvania Ghost Stories, 35 Days to Gettysburg. All sorts of books. You'll see them all listed there.
We have pictures of all of his books on our website, and you can click on them and buy them if you're interested.
At Amazon.com.
It'll link you right to it.
So, and he runs the ghost tours at Gettysburg, and I think maybe Ghost of Fredericksburg, but we'll have to ask him that.
Now, he is like the man to see, the man to talk to in Gettysburg, right?
Yes. If you're going for ghosts, he's the man. So.
Okay. Well, welcome, Mark.
Well, hello there, Lola.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
I'm doing good.
We're doing great. How are you?
Just fine. Boy, I really don't have to say anything now.
Well, thanks for having you on.
It was nice talking to you.
Yeah, we'll talk to you later.
Oh, well, I for one am really looking forward to this because I have been to Gettysburg and really tried to commune with the spirits. Unfortunately, they don't want to commune with me, but I think it's fascinating how many spirits are down there.
Well, now, have you seen anything, Mark?
I've had 2 visuals. I lived there 30 years, and so I don't think that's very many, but I've had a number of other, you know, weird experiences that I just can't explain, and of course, I've collected... Oh, really, probably close to 1,000 stories, you know, different people having different experiences on the battlefield, in the town, in the hotels where people, the modern hotels where people stay.
Well, I hope you're going to share those with us, some of them.
I'll try, sure. I'll tell you, it's an amazing place because Gettysburg, of course, is the scene of one of the biggest Civil War battles that occurred. There were 51,000 casualties in 3 days.
Wow.
Now that's not all dead. That's killed, wounded, and missing. There are about between 6,000 and 8,000 dead left on the battlefield. But the ones who were wounded, of course, had to go through some incredible trauma, amputations, really primitive surgery, and so they probably left some sort of energy, psychic imprint behind. And we see it everything from. All the different types of hauntings that have been classified. We have your typical interactive or intelligent haunting where they actually speak to the people. You have a residual haunting. One of the most famous cases for that would be the Phantom Regiment, where I have probably 6 accounts of people who have actually seen an entire unit of soldiers, 60, 80 soldiers, so it's not quite a regiment, but they seem all lined up, getting ready to go into battle. Sometimes they'll march, sometimes they'll maneuver, and then all of a sudden they vanish.
Now, I read that story in one of your books we have here.
I think we talked about that last week.
Yeah,
I actually
mentioned it to them because that was my favorite one because I was reading through, and when I was introducing you coming next week, I was like, let me share this one with you. And, that was one of the ones that if I would have saw that, I would have just been... That would have blew my mind.
That's what I was hoping to see, and I was out there literally at the crack of dawn in the fog, freezing.
Oh!
And they never, no one ever shows themselves to me, and I would love to see that.
Well, the other interesting thing about one of the Phantom Battalion stories that I had is that the woman said that her dog, they had a dog in the car with them when they saw this, and the dog was growling. And that interests me because, animals, dogs, cats, we go into a paranormal experience with all kinds of baggage. It's something under my contact lens. We try and explain everything. Something under my contact lens, a little too much to drink, too many beers, I'm hallucinating or whatever. Animals do not. They just react to something they see.
Wow.
So when that dog reacted to the Phantom Battalion, the dog was seeing it.
That's scary.
I don't know what I'd do. I really don't. That's...
See, I'm wanting to. I just want to see this.
Now, well, if you
keep trying.
Job, I am.
Just move to Gettysburg.
Yeah.
Now, you give tours a lot in ghost tours, and that if, let's say, Lola decides she's going to pack up and go one more time to try to find them. I mean, how often do you lead tours in Gettysburg itself?
Well, we have tours every night except in the wintertime. We have actually four different routes that we take people on our walking tours. We also have a ghost bus tour, which takes people to, you know, places that you can't walk to. And then a couple of years ago, we hooked up with the Gettysburg Railroad, and now we are running ghost trains. And the interesting part about that is that the stories are told by our guide about, you know, train disasters and train wrecks and the ghosts they produce. And then we discovered, really in just the last couple of years, that the engine house, which is a modern engine house, but it's built on battlefield, the engine house is haunted. I've gotten EVP in there. There have been stories of hearing footsteps on, you know, the gravel, the ballast, footsteps coming through cars that they're working on in there, and no one's in there. And then the last time we were in there doing an investigation, one of our psychics was saying to me, look, there's someone who really wants to talk to you, Mark, on the EVP. You better talk to him. He's getting upset. All of a sudden, on the far end of the engine house, one of those traffic barrels that was set up on a tire, all of a sudden it just went flying off the tire. It didn't fall off. It was like it was kicked off. And so...
So did you go, I'm here.
Yeah. I figured I better start talking.
Yeah.
We can talk. All right.
You have my attention.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, you said you have seen two things. What were those two things?
I've had two visuals, which I really don't think is very, very many, you know, living in Gettysburg for 30 years. But one was actually in our building. We own a historic building, which was there at the time of the battle. And I was closing up one night, and you know how you a lot of times these things appear out of the corner of your eye, and I saw it was a woman, very, very short, about 4'10 or 4'11, and she was in a I don't want to call her a shadow person, but she was in a black dress, a long dress without a hoop. I could see the pleats, and she had like a hat and a veil. And of course, you know, I'm seeing this out of the corner of my eye. I'm like, Mark, don't look, Mark. Oh, I can't handle it, you know. And I looked, and she disappeared. But that actually happened in our building. And some of the psychics that we work with thought that it might have been Sarah Woods, who was the wife of the owner at the time of the Battle of Gettysburg.
Wow.
We had someone mentioned earlier before our show.
It was Todd.
Was it Todd? Okay. He would mention something about hearing a story about the first woman had died.
Yeah, she was the first casualty of Gettysburg, and she was actually shot through her door by accident. It was a stray bullet and killed.
That's Jenny Wade. She was killed, the only civilian. Actually, she was the only civilian killed in the three-day battle that took 51,000 casualties, and it was an accident.
Bad luck.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Now, is she haunting anything?
No, as a matter of fact.
Boy, and you'd think she would be. One angry female.
We did an investigation of the building, and the only ghost that we got in there, and this was back in 1996, the only one we got was Jenny Wade's father. Carol Kirkpatrick, who's our psychic at the time, went in there, and the first thing she said is, I feel an unfinished mourning. Somebody didn't have a chance to mourn. I didn't say anything, okay? The way it turns out is that it was Jenny's father was incarcerated when she was 7 years old. So, and continued to be incarcerated until after her death. And so he did not get a chance to actually mourn her death. He was in jail at the time.
So he didn't even know.
Yeah, and we were down in the basement, and just as we were leaving, there's a chain that separates the basement from one pillar made out of brick to a stone wall in the basement. As we're leaving, somebody said, oh, Carol, look, the chain was moving. I mean, it was swaying back and forth, not like in a ripple effect, but like it, as it, if it were welded, like a solid thing. We tried to replicate that, and we couldn't. At any rate, it's swinging back and forth, and Carol looks down, and she goes, oh, that's Jenny's father. He's just trying to tell us that he's here.
Oh, wow.
So would you mind? Would you mind if anybody shares their stories with you about any of their experiences? I know you do more than just Gettysburg. Fredericksburg and Chancellorsburg, you just had a book come out as well. Do you, is that the only three you've had work with at Civil War battlefields?
Well, you know, every time I go to a Civil War battlefield, you know, I'm asking questions, okay, is it haunted, you know, what are the ghost stories and that type of thing. But we have been, since we started the Ghosts of Fredericksburg tours, have been collecting a lot of stories about that area. Now, of course, that area, you actually get four for the price of one there. You had the Battle of Fredericksburg in 1862, the Battle of Chancellorsville in 1863, and then within 2 weeks, in May of 1864, you had the Battle of the Wilderness and the Battle of Spotsylvania. Spotsylvania, they fought for 22 hours straight in the pouring rain.
Jeez.
at a place called the Mule Shoe. There was one soldier from the Iron Brigade, which took a beating at Gettysburg. I mean, they were decimated at Gettysburg. Guy from the Iron Brigade said Gettysburg was a skirmish compared to this.
Oh, wow.
I can't even imagine that most of these, how could any of those spirits still be or have passed on? You would think that they would all be just so angry, and because it was just mass murder, you know.
All the proper criteria for becoming a ghost occurred to these poor guys. I mean, first of all, they were youthful deaths.
Yeah.
Usually they were unexpected because these guys were, all American soldiers are always like, it's going to be the guy next to me, not me.
Yeah.
So it was unexpected. It was sudden. Many of these guys, according to our psychics, don't know that they're dead.
Now,
I mean, you get blown away by artillery. It's over in an instant.
Yeah, you're a pink cloud.
Exactly.
It's like they're just running, and the next minute they're
gone.
They're not running anymore.
Yeah.
Now, is there like a significant amount of like quartz or something like that underneath the ground there? I think I read that somewhere.
You know, that's interesting because that was one of my theories. Someone actually mentioned that to me before. It's not my theory completely, but I've been doing some research on that. And at Gettysburg, large amount of granite, which is filled with quartz, okay? And, of course, quartz is a massive crystal.
Yeah.
When the guy first told me this, he said, you know, I think the quartz is actually capturing the energy from the guys when they die. And I'm like, wait a minute, how could they capture, like, electromagnetic energy? It's a rock. Quartz is a rock, I said, as I was looking at my quartz watch.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, I mean, look, we all, you know, our DVD players have crystals that are stimulated by electricity, tiny amounts of electricity.
Lasers.
This sort of made sense. You know? Yeah, lasers, CDs. So it kind of made sense. So I started doing a little bit of research. Of course, Fredericksburg has a ton of granite. All these areas that are haunted have seemingly a large amount of granite and quartz in it. And I went to visit Vicksburg out on the Mississippi River.
Mm-hmm.
And a good friend of mine that I, you know, I was a park ranger at Gettysburg, and a friend of mine was still in the Park Service, and he was at Vicksburg, took me on a tremendous historical tour. And finally I asked him, I said, Terry, I got a question. Tell me some of the ghost stories of Vicksburg. He says, Mark, I got to tell you, there are several ghost stories about the town, none about the battlefield. I have been here 30 years, and I don't have a single one about the battlefield.
Really?
I said, second question, what's the geology like here? He said, nothing but Mississippi mud silt for 100 feet down before he hit, you know, bedrock.
Right?
So, you know, the wheels are turning now. The little mouse got on the wheel in my head. And I'm thinking, I wonder if there really is that connection.
Yeah, for those of you that don't know, quartz is, you know, it's a stone that supposedly will catch the energies from people, the stuff around it. And like they say that if there's a lot of quartz underneath like an area and something traumatic happened there, it'll like record it onto you know, the rock, I guess, and it'll play back like a VCR. It's kind of what we call residual hauntings.
Or history's theater, you could probably even call it
history's
that.
Theater. It, you know, it'll just play over and over and over again because it's just something like it was recorded onto a tape in the rock, and it just plays over and over and over again.
Now, this is just a theory. We don't know.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how we would experiment with that. You know, this is a...
Kill a bunch of people on a rock.
I know. How do you experiment with something like, you know, life after, you know, life after death? You know, there's pretty crazy volunteers for that one, you know?
Well, we probably know at least one sitting in this studio that might.
Well, let's give me some dirty looks. I need to stop talking.
If you don't mind, I'm going to give the phone numbers out, 304-214-1600 or 866-514-1600. If you want to call, if you've been to a Civil War battlefield and have a story, especially Gettysburg, Chancellorsville, give a call. I'm sure Mark would love to hear your stories.
Maybe it'll be in the next book coming out.
You never know. Now you have an investigation CD that's coming that you actually have out now, where you've done some investigations at Gettysburg headquarters. Or did I got that correct?
Yeah, it's going to be a series, and that's actually the first one that we've done. And what happened is there's an award-winning DJ that has actually started doing this as a Halloween program for his radio station called Erie, Pennsylvania, E-R-I-E, right? And he approached me about this, and he asked me, he said, do you want to do something? I know you do investigations. I'd like to do something on your building there, and could you walk me through, and we'll you know, tell me the ghost stories? So I did, you know, and it was interesting because that night it was particularly active. We have one room that was actually part of the original house, 1834, and it's the upstairs is very, very active, and so I was getting a lot of EVP up there that particular night. He was actually a skeptic when he walked into the house 2 hours later. You know, he's actually saying thank you to the priest that we'd contacted.
Oh, wow.
So it's kind of interesting. At any rate, he won an award, a national award for that program.
Really?
And he came back and he said, you know, you're doing all these investigations of these neat places. He says, can I tag along? And I said, absolutely. We'll produce these. So right now we have the one of our building. It's about the ghost house. We call, you know.
Now, what's on the CD? What's on the CD itself? Because it says the investigation series. I mean, what is it? Just the EVPs? Is it some live action going on?
We went through the house, and of course, I tell the history of the house and give a little background. And we had people along with us, you know, kind of trying to learn a little bit how to do an investigation. And so, Brad Chrisman is a man who is a DJ who's producing these things with us. He actually went along with us and experimented with the EVP, doing some things, for example, that I didn't know he was going to do. Like he brought in a CD player that played Dixie, and right at the last second, he cut it out. He stopped it, and you can sort of hear a couple of notes on the recorder that were recorded that we couldn't hear, of course, because it was EVP. So it's basically he walks you along in this investigation. Then he interviews some of the people afterwards, how it happened. And it's, as I said, it's a series, and we're going to, the next one out should be the Cashtown Inn, and then we're going to do several others.
Now, is that there in Gettysburg, too?
Cashtown Inn was the place that was featured not too long ago on Ghost Hunters.
Hmm.
And also, we featured it on our program on Mysterious Journeys on the Travel Channel. It's a pretty active place, and it's a bed and breakfast, so you get a chance to
sleep with the ghosties.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah.
Is that what you would call a person like that, a ghostie, if they're furry?
That's what I
ghostie?
Call it. Oh, he's right. Furry on the brain tonight.
Mark, no. We got a phone call. Hold on just a second.
Sure, this is Becky, and she is going to Gettysburg for Halloween. So go ahead, Becky, you're on the
Becky.
Air.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful, how are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to call in to see what I can expect for a trip to Gettysburg during Halloween. Because we were there in October a couple years ago at the Farnsworth House.
Uh-huh.
So we went on the ghost tours, but I just want to make sure I'd like to go to the Cashtown Inn, and I don't know if there's any festivals or anything.
Well, they're not festivals, but I'll tell you what you're going to find on Halloween in Gettysburg is a ton of people taking ghost tours. That's when everybody comes, of course. You can, if you want, if you can get there a little bit early, you know, a couple days earlier, that's the ideal.
Okay.
During the week, it's not too busy, but weekends is pretty crazy.
Okay.
I don't know if there's any more activity on Halloween. People ask me that, you know, when's a good time, you know, the anniversary of the battle, Halloween. You know, we do have things that happen on our ghost tours. I don't know if anything, obviously we can't guarantee that something's going to happen on Halloween. I don't know if it's any more active on Halloween or not, but make sure you get out and see the rest of the battlefield too, Becky, because it's a fascinating place. And, of course, October is just gorgeous in South Central Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So who should I call about? Like, I heard you talking about the train tours.
Right. That's exclusive to our tour, so what you want to do is check it out on our website, which is ghostsofgettysburg.com.
Okay.
And that's also, we have that linked up, along with your books and your investigative CD, we have that linked up on our website as well. So if anybody's already saw that, you know, they can link up there to find it as well. So.
Okay, great. How if I want to book anything before Halloween, how far in advance do I have to do it?
Tomorrow.
I knew you were going to say that.
You can do it online.
Okay.
You know, you can make reservations online. And like I said, it's really not fair to somebody, especially like you who's calling in and wanting to make a reservation. Try not to do it on the Saturday night of that week. If you can do it on a Thursday night, that's the best.
We'll be pulling in on Halloween and leaving on the second.
On the second? Well, try maybe take a tour on the first or the second.
Okay.
Because you know the chances of you having an experience are virtually the same.
Okay.
Okay.
And so we're staying at the Best American's Best on Steinway Avenue.
Yes. Yes.
That's pretty close to everything.
Yeah. You're about half a dozen blocks from the center square of town.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of activity, a lot of shops on Steinway Avenue there. I think there may even have been some ghostly activity in the hotel where you're staying.
In the room you're staying in.
Well, Becky, do us a favor. When you get back, give us a call.
I will.
Tell us what you saw, anything you got. Take a tape recorder.
Okay.
Yeah.
Record everything.
We have a digital recorder here, so we'll do
all
that.
Right. Good.
All right, guys. Thanks so much.
Thanks a lot, Becky.
Bye-bye.
I have here, you have a Mysterious Journeys Weekends coming up in January, February, and March. And that's actually at the Cashtown Inn you've been talking about. Can you tell us something about that?
That's correct. Well, what we did is when we were on the Mysterious Journeys, you know, the Travel Channel sent a crew in, and we spent 2 weeks with them, and they took 70 hours of film for, you know, a 47-minute, 48-minute program. At any rate, what we decided to do is offer to the general public an opportunity to go to some of the places that they saw on TV with the team that they saw on TV. So we got Patty Wilson and Scott Crownover and Lane Crosby, the people that were on TV with us, all together for these specific weekends. And, of course, the Cashtown Inn, as I said, was on, you know, Ghost Hunters a few weeks after ours came out. And so what the people do is they get to stay overnight in the Cashtown Inn on Friday and Saturday nights. It's kind of intensive because we get together with them Friday night, and the first thing after dinner we do is we explain how to use some of the equipment, and then we go down in the cellar of the Cashtown Inn, which no one ever gets to go into.
Oh.
Right? It's really, really interesting down there. So we get to go in there and investigate that area. Then they, of course, can stay up all night if they want and investigate the Cashtown Inn because that's where they're all staying.
Now, is it like you get total freedom over it all?
We leave. And then if they want to continue their investigation, they can borrow all the equipment we have and just go for it. And then the next day, we have a couple of other venues set up for them. One of them is the Lady Farm, the Daniel Lady Farm, which is actually they'd rather be known for their historical aspects, but that was where probably one of the strangest paranormal events that ever occurred to me happened, and I talk about that on the Mysterious Journey.
All right. In just a second, I'm going to ask you what that is. We got another phone call.
Okay.
This is Jeff. Hi, Jeff. You're on the air.
Hi, Jeff.
Hey, Jordan. What's up, buddy?
I'm doing good, buddy. How are you?
All right. So are you guys, am I live right now?
Yes, you are.
They want to turn your radio down, too, because we can hear it in the background.
Okay, I turned it down.
Okay, there you go.
Well, I just wanted to call in and say hi to my buddy Jordan, and I'm pretty excited. This is the first time I've got the watch. So,
all right, well, thanks, Jeff.
Do you have a question for Mark?
Well, actually, I didn't really have a question, but I do have a little bit of – I've been to Gettysburg. My wife is actually from Tawny Town, which is just a little stretch down the road from Gettysburg. And we used to go have our picnics down there on the weekends.
Did you ever see anything, Jeff?
No, I never saw anything. We always used to go right there by Devil's Den. Never saw anything out of the unusual or anything like that. But
Lola just got excited when you said that.
That's another place I was trying to see ghosties. I was wandering all through that area.
Yeah, I never saw anything down there. I do have a ghost story, but it's up here in Wheeling. It's not related to Gettysburg, if you want to hear it.
No, let's hear it.
All right, well, I think I told you about this when I was in junior high, and I wrestled at Chidelphia Junior High School, and I was walking to my grandmother's, and it was wintertime. I was walking past Greenwood Cemetery, and all of a sudden, I'm assuming was a woman, brushed past me. I thought she was a nun because she was in all black, and so I kept on walking, kind of had my head down because it was cold, and when I got to the gates there of the opening of the cemetery, I stopped to look and make sure nobody was turning in there off of National Road, and also I looked around, and this lady was just gone. I mean, I looked up the street, I looked back behind me, and then I looked down into the cemetery, and I could see a figure going down the road in the cemetery, and so that's my...
Now, did it touch you?
Well, when she brushed past me, I kind of felt like a whoosh of air, but she didn't really bump into me or anything like that. But, I mean, that's what drew my attention at first. It was like a cold blast of air coming past me, and then all of a sudden there she was in front of me.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks for calling. Hey. Keep listening.
I will.
Thanks, Jeff.
Now, Mark, you said something earlier about the woman, you saw her in black, and of course, right. He said, he thought this was a nun. I mean, do you get that a lot? Because I know you said you don't want to say it was a shadow person.
Do a lot of, I guess, ghosts come in, black dresses? You hear that all the time, there was a ghost in a black dress, or a ghost woman. Is that something that you've come in, it happens often, it's frequent?
Yeah, it's, we have a famous woman in white. Of course, that haunts Spangler Spring.
Nothing in green.
No, I don't know. The people seem to be able to identify whether it's a Union or a Confederate soldier by the blue or the gray. And sometimes, in fact, one woman described a soldier that she saw. He was dressed. She said he was dressed in kind of a salmon color. Okay, and I'm like, well, wait a minute, that doesn't make sense. But then I remembered, wait a minute, the Confederates, some of them, when they got to Gettysburg, had been wearing their butternut uniforms. Now, butternut uniform comes to the fore later on in the war when the gray uniforms, the fancy uniforms, wore out. What the men would do is their parents would send them these uniforms, and they were all white because it was just Lindsay Woolsey. And the Confederates would say, well, we can't wear these. Looks like we're wearing our winding sheets into battle. In other words, they're death clothes.
Yeah.
So they took walnuts, and they crushed up the hulls, and they boiled these uniforms. And instead of coming out, they thought they could get gray out of it. Instead of coming out gray, they came out almost a pinkish-brown color, okay?
Pink is much more manly.
Absolutely. And so...
See what I put up with, Mark.
When this person described this fella, she inadvertently described him historically. She didn't know that the butternut uniforms took on kind of a salmon-colored tinge to them.
This is the first time I've ever heard of
them. Yeah, me too. I've never heard of the butternut uniforms either.
Yeah, well, I knew about the butternut, but I didn't...
You've been to Gettysburg.
Yes.
That's why it's that story is rings true to me, that she actually had that experience. She didn't even know about that either. So.
Wow.
Well, I think another reason that women, particularly back in those days and in Victorian times, most older women wore black. I mean, they were either mourning the death of parents or, a spouse or something like that. I think that's why so many women are in dark clothing. Well, that was a popular color.
Yeah, well, at the time of the Civil War in Victorian America, when you put on mourning, when a brother or a husband died, you put it on for a year.
A year, yeah. Yeah, you had to wear widow's weeds for a year.
And with 620,000 Americans dead after 4 years. You know, when you stop and think about it, the country was only one-tenth its size, so we would have to multiply that. That's 6,200,000 in today's numbers.
Oh my God.
In 4 years.
I hadn't thought of it in terms of that.
One out of every 40 or 44 men or people in America died because of the Civil War. So you're right, the widow's weeds, the mourning was very predominant in those 4 years and for a while afterwards.
Yeah.
Wow.
Unbelievable. I've got a story that I always tell the last time I was at Gettysburg, I went down behind Devil's Den to that creek that's there.
Right, right.
And
Plum Run, yeah.
Yeah. And so I came back with these stones from the bottom of the creek, and I told them that if you broke the stones open, they would be blood red inside because the creek literally did run blood red. And I said, the stones picked up the color of the blood, and so over the years, it seeped down into... I had these kids cracking rocks for days.
Wow.
Oh, man. What is the Devil's Den? Is that...
It's a rock formation, isn't it?
Did anything significant happen there?
Yeah, it started off as a Union stronghold. And then during the course of the afternoon of July 2nd, 1863, Confederates finally, after several attempts, dislodged the Union troops from Devil's Den. The problem with it is at the time of the Civil War, they used Napoleonic tactics. They lined up shoulder to shoulder and marched across open fields.
Yeah, real brilliant. Brilliant.
Which you couldn't do in Devil's Den. It was one of the first... instances of basically house to house fighting or Indian fighting, you know, where they had to. I mean, these rocks. Some of these are huge. They're mm-hmm. they're as big as a house, and you know, here you are, a soldier. You're trying to move through this, and all of a sudden, you turn a corner, and there's the enemy with a bayonet. And you know, so it was pretty savage fighting through Devil's Den. Now that
is that a big area?
It's not real big. No, it's. Couple hundred yards on a side, you know, but it got its name before the battle. It wasn't called Devil's Den because of the battle. So we're not really sure why it got called Devil's Den. There are several theories on it, but you know that name kind of, you know, it's kind of eerie, and precedes the battle.
Wow, if you got a story, local Gettysburg, any kind of battlefield you've been to, give us a call 304-214-1600, toll free 866-514-1600.
I'm sorry. You also have the Haunted Pennsylvania book, which covers not only just Gettysburg and some of the battlefields. You guys talk about all over the state. One of the places that's really interested me, and I know Jordan's also had an interest in it, was Eastern State Penitentiary. Can you give us any information on that?
Nick and I are paranormal researchers, and without the show. So, you know, we like these places. We like going places. You know, we've always wanted to go to Gettysburg. There's so many places in Pennsylvania, you know, we hear stories of. Does this book hit those?
Yeah, it hits. Actually, Patty Wilson and I co-wrote the book, and we came out with a smaller version earlier, 2 years ago, and it was so popular that Stackpole, the publisher, came back to us and said, "We know you guys have more stories." And Patty knows more stories about Pennsylvania than anybody I've ever known. And we said, yeah, we do have a few more.
So you have Eastern State Pen?
Put them down. Eastern State Penitentiary's in that. In fact, Eastern State Penitentiary was also featured on that Mysterious Journeys program. And Patty did some of the history about it. But it was just a brief background. Eastern State Penitentiary was actually founded by the Quakers, and their idea was when you go to jail, you need to think about what you did. You need penance, right? You need to be penitent. And so it was actually almost every cell there was solitary confinement.
Oh, wow.
And so you just sat in there for 23 hours and thought about what you did.
Just by yourself?
Yeah, now I don't know about you guys, but if I had to sit around for 23 hours and think about what I did, what I did bad.
You think about what you did wrong.
Oh, I'm going to think about what I'm going to do when I get out.
You know, my mother used to do that when I was a little kid. You go stand in that corner and think about what you did. Wow, that lasted about 5 minutes before I almost went crazy, you know. So, yeah. Okay, come on out. You can come on out now. So that must have been a horrible place. And and of course, many people died. Al Capone was incarcerated there for a while.
All right.
And so to this day, there are strange things that happen. I guess they've pretty much come to terms with their hauntedness, and they're allowing groups to come in and do overnight investigations.
Yeah, I know Taps went in. There was a really popular episode of it that, you know, they showed this black shadow going back and forth, which I thought was interesting. We have a couple calls on the line, if you don't mind. So, Lola?
Sure. This is Elaine.
Hi, Elaine.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Fine. I'm listening to your show, enjoying it.
Oh, well, good.
Thank you.
I just want to let you know that I love Gettysburg, and I've been there dozens of times, and I belong to an organization called Friends of the National Parks at Gettysburg. And every year they have a weekend for members, and they take you on tours, and they have different things for you to do. So one year I drugged my mother with me, and we went up there, and it was really nice. They took us to all the different farms through the cemeteries. We had a dinner, and after dinner at nighttime they took us with flashlights and things down into the Devil's Den, and we had a ghost walk. I didn't see anything, though. But I wanted to tell you my scary story of Gettysburg. When we went up to this weekend affair, we got there in the daytime, checked into the Holiday Inn Express, and then went out on the town all evening. So didn't even look to see what the room was like or anything. So we come back at nighttime, and I put the key in the door and open the door. My mother goes in first, and then I'm coming in the door to the room, and the light from the hallway came into our room. And I let out this terrible scream because I saw a third person in the room, and I didn't know who it was or what it was. And here it was my mother's reflection in the bathroom door that was closed. and she was reflecting in the full-length mirror they had on the back of the door. Oh. And it was open when we got there, but the maid must have been in and closed it. And so I saw her in there, and that was my scariest thing that I had in Gettysburg.
Oh, Elaine, it sounds like something that would have happened to me.
You know what we said the worst part was, though? When I let out that blood-curdling scream, not one person put their head out the door to see
on your own.
Oh. So I just wanted to relay my story to you.
Well, thank you, Elaine.
Thank you.
That was cool.
Your program. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Oh, that was funny.
Somebody else?
Well, this is Anthony. And Anthony, I thought, Mark, you might be interested in what he has to say. There's a huge convention going on in Morgantown, a paranormal convention. So let's talk to Anthony real quick.
Hi, Anthony.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. I just wanted to call in and let all the listeners know about a conference going on in Morgantown. The conference is in February. It's going to be on the 21st. Right now we have 9 speakers coming all from the East Coast. We have Long Island, Georgia, Pennsylvania, Maryland, and West Virginia, of course.
Oh, wow.
We're going to have workshops, panel discussions. There's going to be an expo, open forum, giveaways. And even at the end, we're going to have a ghost walk slash hunt through Hotel Morgan, which is like a historic hotel here in Morgantown.
Wow, that sounds really great, Anthony.
Yeah. All right, now, are you heading this up? Like, is this your baby?
Yeah, I'm the director of the conference. Yes.
If you want to shoot an email over to Nick real quick, or when you get near a computer, at whispers1600@gmail.com. We can get some more info on it, and we can talk about it.
Yeah, well, we'll gladly get you on just before the conference.
Yeah.
Okay?
Awesome.
All right.
And like I said, if you Google Morgantown Paranormal Conference, you'll find it right away.
Right. Okay. Thanks, Anthony.
Thanks, Anthony.
All right. Thanks. You guys have a good one.
Thank you.
Now, Mark, you have something called a Ghost Quest Weekend coming up in Fredericksburg, if you want to talk about that.
That's right. Yeah, it's another one of these things spin off kind of from this Mysterious Journeys Weekend type thing that we have. And the Richard Johnston Inn in Fredericksburg, we've done a couple of investigations there. And the place has some very, very interesting things. One of the most interesting thing about it is that we've had 2 different psychics in there. They never talked to each other, and they both came up with probably 4 or 3 instances that were virtually the same. The one is, even the names are the same. They came up with the same name for the fellow that they felt had been hanged, had been executed out in the back of this of the Richard Johnson Inn. It's a historic inn, dates back to the time of the battle and previous to that. And people can find out about that if they look up therichardjohnstoninn.com, and that's where they can get information on that. And that's coming up in January.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and put a link to that on our website too.
So great,
the Richard Johnstoninn.com. Now, what kind of stories have you got from that?
Well, it's going to entail more than just the Richard Johnston Inn. That's just where people will stay. We're also going to be investigating a place called the Chimneys, which is was built in 1789, something like that. And then we're also going to be going out to the Spotsylvania Courthouse battlefield and investigating a couple places out there, which we're nailing down now. In fact, one of the reasons we're in Williamsburg right now rather than Gettysburg is that we're having a business meeting with one of the people that's involved with producing some DVDs and some TV programs based on this ghost quest idea.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah.
So you're going to get your own show, Mark?
I doubt it.
Mark Nesbitt. I like it.
We're basically going to do is come up with a series of, you know, four or five places in the Fredericksburg area. You know, Gettysburg is so famous for its ghosts, but you know, it's not the only place.
No, I've never been there. Like, I used to live in Maryland, but I've never been to Gettysburg that I can remember. How far away is Fredericksburg from Gettysburg?
Fredericksburg is only about 2.5 hours away. And Fredericksburg is right in between, 50 miles from Washington, 50 miles from Richmond.
Okay.
So it's right in between the two.
So you do your tours, but you travel around a lot.
Yeah, we get around quite a bit. This is, you know, there's I don't know, it's kind of a combination between a vacation and a passion, you know, to find more ghost stories and to find more ways to present these fabulous tales to people and let them know that, you know, hey, it's as Hans Holzer said, you know, there's no such thing as paranormal. It's all normal. It's part of our world.
We just don't like to hear about it.
We
pretend it doesn't exist. I like that.
Before we took a call earlier, you said something about one of your more scary experiences.
Yeah.
And Jordan forgot about it. And I just remembered that I really wanted to hear that story. So
I was getting excited about it, too, and I forgot.
All right. It happened at the Daniel Lady Farm. And the front room of the farm, we're 99.9% sure, was the operating room. It has an effect on many of the sensitive people. You don't even have to be psychic. When you walk in there, they say it's like walking into Jell-O.
Oh, gosh.
And one of the things that happened is, I was on the board of directors for the Gettysburg Battlefield Preservation Association, a nonprofit that owns the Daniel Lady Farm and has restored it. And they took all the old rugs up off the floor. And when they did that, they discovered a couple of things. Number one, there were bloodstains on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And these were also featured on the Mysterious Journeys program. They took Luminol, you know, the stuff they use in CSI, and sprayed it on there, and it actually glowed, okay? So I was in Gettysburg at our apartment there, and I got a phone call from the caretaker. And he said, Mark, if you want to see a paranormal event occurring before your eyes, come on out to the lady farm. I threw all my gear in the car, and I rode out there. And, of course, I'm thinking, uh-oh, what am I getting myself into here? I'm going to open the door, and something's going to fly out of me. I don't know. So
Ghostbusters.
He came to the door, walked me in. I said, what's up? He says, I'm not going to tell you. I'm just going to show you. We walked into that front room, and there on the floor was this rust-colored liquid in streams that sort of flowed towards the fireplace. Separating from that liquid was like a clear serum. There were drops of this brownish liquid, rust-colored liquid, that looked like they were starting to crystallize. Mm. And I looked at the ceiling, and there was no rust up there, and, you know, was something had come through the, you know,
so it wasn't
water
dripping
or something. So I took pictures of it. I put a yardstick down to see how big it was, and it extended beyond the yardstick. It's probably 6-8 feet of this stuff.
Wow.
And I then I got a Kleenex and I dipped it in it. And I said, well, I don't know what to say. My work here is done. I've documented this. I'm going to take off. So I left. About an hour and a half to 2 hours later, I got a phone call from the caretaker again. He says, Mark, it's gone. I'm like, what? How could that be? So I jumped back in my car, drove out there, walked in. I said, what's going on here? And I was filming the whole time.
Yeah.
He said, I don't know. He says, I was out working outside, and I walked in, and I looked, and it was absolutely gone. Look, he says, and he's rubbing his hand across where it was. He says, look, look. And he says, wait, what's this? There was a thin film of dust on his fingers that I got this picture of. In other words, this stuff not only vanished, but we went back in time, you know, so that there was dust that had accumulated. And then I thought, okay, what about the sample? So I ran out to my car. It was still there.
You're kidding.
We took this sample. We sent it to one of the most prestigious forensic labs in the state. It came back. The results 2 weeks later came back.
Oh, I know. I know what you're going to say.
The substance was blood.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
The species was human.
Oh, my God. I knew it the minute you said that. I just knew that's what it was going
to
be.
That was the freakiest thing that's ever happened to me.
And it was wet? Like it was fresh when you went there?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely fresh. I mean, it was liquid.
Oh.
And when I got, and the funny, and the weird part is there are still blood stains on that floor from 145 years ago. You can't get blood up off of wood floors.
No, you can't, which tells you never commit a murder and leave blood on a floor because it will always be there.
Yeah.
Always put down some plastic.
Right.
There was no trace of it. There was dust. It was like it was in a time warp.
Oh, wow.
That is very interesting.
That's crazy.
I know it.
Very weird.
But I believe. I believe. I do.
She's ready to go back to Gettysburg.
Oh, I am. That was one of the last time I was there was one of the best trips that I have had. And we didn't take any real tours or anything like that. It was just all kind of investigating on our own. And it was just so much fun. But I so wanted to see a ghostie.
Now, when's the best time, Mark? When's the best time to come down to book a trip? I mean, is it full moon? I mean, you were saying before, and I don't know, you know, hauntings in themselves, you can't tell when they're going to happen. When is the most activity going on down there in Gettysburg?
You know, it's hard to say. And it seems like over the 4th of July weekend there's a lot, but that's the anniversary of the battle. So people say, but it's also the 4th of July weekend. So there are more people there to witness these things. You know what I mean? It's not like in December. I mean, the same number of paranormal events could be occurring, but there's just no one there to witness them, you know, in December because no one's there.
I wonder, do you think that because there's so many people around that would inhibit sightings and things like that?
No, I think it stirs them up.
Do you?
Mm. Yeah, the more activity, yeah, I believe so. And the other interesting thing is I get a lot of stories from reenactors, you know. When on the 4th of July weekend, we have this huge battle reenactment, and there are literally thousands of reenactors encamped out there near the fields where they fought,
mm-hmm.
Where the original soldiers fought. Imagine you're a ghost, okay? You don't know you're a ghost, but all of a sudden you look and you see all these people dressed like you are.
Oh, my gosh.
And, you know, so you're like, geez, I'm just going to go over there and
hang out.
What the heck are these guys doing?
That's what people report. They say they see these people walking through the camp, and they watch them, and all of a sudden they just disappear.
Oh, man. You have people probably saying either they have the best or worst costume. Like, where did you get that? That's
And that then looks they like trash.
Got holes all in it. It's all raggedy.
Yeah.
Well, Mark, that's all the time we got for this week. I want to thank you very, very much for calling in and letting us talk with you for a bit.
We'd love to have him back on, too.
Huh?
And we'd like to have him back on.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, we'll definitely keep back in touch with you and see what's going on down there in Gettysburg.
Just let me know. We'll tell you about Fredericksburg and our Mysterious Journeys weekends as well.
Oh, yeah,
definitely.
That
sounds great.
Thanks a lot, Mark.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
You can find him at goes to Gettysburg.com. He said the RichardJohnstonInn.com for those Ghost Quest weekends. And
we have him linked to our website, WhispersRadio.com. We have all of his books there you can buy, pick up.
Investigation CD, which I think I might have to pick that up.
They're not real thick books. It looks like a good bathroom read if you guys are
Wow. All right.
What?
Okay.
They're littler books. I like them. They're books that I can read.
Bathroom
read. They're books that I can read.
I thought we were finally rising the level of this.
I'll tell you what.
I'm trying to
trying to reach the bar.
Well, next week,
yes,
if we're still on.
Who do we have next week?
Next week we have Don Keating. He's the director of Eastern Ohio Bigfoot.
Eastern Ohio Bigfoot.
Investigation Center. And if you recently watched Monster Quest, if you've ever watched that, they had it on with the Grassman sightings. Which is actually right here in Ohio, you know, right across the river.
It's by Senecaville, right?
That's somewhere around that area. And
the Senecaville Sasquatch.
Tune in next week.
You guys
we'll
are really pressing my Mothman last week. Straw, grassman?
Grassman.
And see, you know what?
This
what?
Is a really interesting, though.
John Blackmore wanted this one.
Oh, okay.
He specifically requested that our first show.
The first thing he brought up. And, I mean, it is interesting. You go out and, you know, you're in Ohio and you're walking through these fields, and there's these big, like...
Footprints?
Well, no, not footprints. See, you're making it cheesy. All right. You've got these big houses kind of made out of grass.
Oh. Okay.
That are, you know, you
like
can actually
giant
get into.
Indian huts.
Yeah, and they don't know what's made them. And I know Don, I was talking to him over email. He doesn't like the name Grassman because he says it's another, you know, it's a species of Bigfoot. But, I mean, that's what they called them on this show, and that's what's been reported, and everybody calls them. So
okay.
I'll have to ask him about that. So.
All right. Well, you got me out with the Mothman, so we'll do the Grassman next week.
We'll see if Lola likes Bigfoot after next week.
Well, and then, Lola, I know you're into the UFOs, so, yeah. You know, after him we have Frank Fascino on August 20th, and he was going to talk about the Flatwoods Monster, which was, he says it was a UFO crash, and...
Yeah, in the book, I want to say it.
You go ahead and say it.
Here in Wheeling, there was another crash landing of some kind. This alien was dumped off. They called it Bashful Billy.
This is near Ogilby, and the sighting of him was Vineyard Hills, which Lisa actually drove me up to the other day. So if you want to find it, actually maybe
Vineyard Hills, I think it was 1952. They got newspaper clippings and everything else.
We're going to go find the newspaper clippings over the library, so we'll bring them
in.
Cool. So it'll be good. That's it. For us.
Well, I was going to say after that, living legend Stan Friedman. So,
oh yeah,
it's going to be a huge, huge month for us.
Yeah,
and Stan Friedman's the guy that the first civilian investigator of Roswell. So that'll definitely
be. So we'll make up for it if you don't like the big. Okay. You are. So.
We'll do a lot to impress you.
All right.
All right. That's it for us this week. Thanks for listening to Whispers on AM 1600 WKKX The Valley's Watchdog. And as always, don't be afraid, only believe.
And make sure you go back to our website, whispersradio.com. Gotta free my mind, get you out of sight. Gotta free my mind, get you out of sight. Pull across it.